Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
610, hi, I'm Steve. How are you? Show number 715. All right, everybody, let's stretch.
Hey, hey, hey.
At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com.
What you got to say?
/ Steve Cochran Show.
They
look cool in the gang, right? Hollywood swinging.
What you got to say?
And again, if you haven't run out of weddings this summer and you got a wedding maybe coming up this weekend,
Hollywood swinging.
There are just a couple of songs that make white people attack. One is Cool in the Gang Celebration. The other is Old Time Rock and Roll. If either one of those are playing, and let's say you're a thief. You're at a wedding and you're a thief. Maybe you're an invited guest. Maybe you just crash the wedding. And if the DJ plays Old Time Rock and Roll Celebration, all the white people will dance. And not because they want to. It's just as a white person, those two songs, you can't help yourself. It's kind of like a zombie march.
Yeah.
And that gives you a chance to go through their purses and wallets or anything else they left behind at the table. It's just a little criminal tip that I throw out there at 6:10 in the morning because I'm a giver.
Yeah, good to give people ideas like that.
Yeah, well, listen, thank you. Thank you for noticing. Let's see, on the program today, Elise Glink, and Elise is going to talk a little money. Are we doing this now? We're going to talk money with Elise right off the top? All right, she's going to join us in just a second. Karen Conti, shortly, in case you missed it, Lisa Madigan made a move on the Laquan McDonald emails, which has a privacy concern, a legal privacy concern, that we'll address. And then Sean Devaney later from the Olympics. I didn't know the Olympics, Dave, could have a ringer. I noticed that my neighbor's kid, Kevin Cordes, got a gold in the 400 IM, I think it's the 400 IM medley relay. And he had been on the qualifier, but then he didn't swim in the final, but he got a gold medal.
That's
posted in the True End today, which is great. But I didn't know like you could do a ringer move. Like, you know, I qualify in the doggy paddle, mm-hmm. but then you're a better doggy paddler than I am, so you swim in the final.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't either.
No.
So he medaled?
He got a gold medal.
Someone injured?
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. We didn't swim in the final. So maybe the guy that swam in the final had to take a call. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So,
he was at a wedding.
I just got a gold medal.
John got a gold medal. Congratulations, John. Well, what event? Can you tell us?
I don't know. I was on the couch when they called.
They just said, we need you to take a gold medal. That's it? We do. Elise Glink joins us now. We love Elise, and she's at thinkglink.com. She's on the radio. She's on TV. She'll come to your house and talk money if you want. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good. I also got a gold medal for sitting on my couch last night.
Couch sitting.
I know there were two gold medals awarded.
Couch, well, you won the female, John won the male.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
How's your summer?
You know, it's been lovely. We've had a nice spate of good weather. Mm-hmm. The garden is blooming. Mm-hmm. All good.
And have you taken any family trips?
We did. We took a 5-day trip down to Latin America for a wedding, which was very fun. And then we came back to try and get both of my kids ready to go to college. My younger one's off to college in a couple of weeks.
Yikes. How are you doing emotionally?
Oh, I'm a mess, completely.
Okay. That's the right answer.
Just like everybody else.
And Latin America, where in Latin America?
We went to Guatemala.
Wow. Are you sure this was a wedding or was this some sort of illegal shipment you were bringing back?
Well, I had some pictures of a woman in a white dress. Does that count?
Of course it counts. Absolutely. Talk to the federales. All right, where are we in our money? What are we worried about this morning?
Well, I think you should be thinking about whether you are ready to refinance again. So it's been very interesting. We've had a lot of good economic news. You wouldn't know this from the presidential election at all, but actually, jobs is looking a little bit better, and we've got the economy sort of doing an uptick, which is nice. Profits are good for companies, but also for people. We're seeing average wages go up. So, of course, the Fed started talking about how they were going to finally raise interest rates. And then we saw interest rates around the globe start to come down again because around the world, the economy's not looking so great. So the good news for people who have homes or are thinking about buying is that mortgage interest rates have fallen back to just about their all-time lows again. And so for a 30-year fixed, you're looking at about 3.3%. A 15-year fixed, get this, 2.6% for a 15-year loan. This is like free because that's the margin that the banks make. About 2.5% is what the bank makes on your loan. And so the fact that it's 2.6% means that the, you know, the real interest rate is zero. So that was kind of interesting, I thought, but a great opportunity for anybody who's out there looking to refinance.
But when the interest rate's that low for the banks and it's still a 15-year play, I don't even understand the business model. It's like, well, the lights are on. We got to do something. Give them some money.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You would think the whole idea behind super low interest rates around the world, this is what the economists think, is that this will push banks to lend money. They've got a lot of cash, and people can't make money anywhere else. And so you would think that this would get people to, you know, push out the cash to people who are starting small businesses or want to expand their business, and not so much. Banks have now gotten so hyper-crazy about losing money that they basically don't lend money, which means they're God knows where they're putting their money, in a mountain in Switzerland, I suppose.
Right.
And so we're not seeing the kind of lending that you would want to see. But in any case, this, the economic theory that low interest rates are going to make everything sort of bloom around the world is not really happening. So in the U.S., we're doing okay. And the reason that the other reason interest rates are so low is that we're the safe bet. So around the world, people have a lot of cash, and they're putting it either into our stock market, which is making that, you know, go crazy. We've seen that. We're at all-time highs. But it's, they're also putting it into savings accounts because we actually pay nothing or slightly above nothing, but everybody else in the world is giving negative interest rates.
Right.
So when you put your money in, you get less out.
Elise, I'm in the process of refinancing again, but I locked in, I think, at a 3.5, which I thought at the time was really good. Can you kind of do a do-over at this point and say, oh, 2.9, that's great. I want that rate. Are you able to do that? Are you allowed to do that?
Is that a 30-year or 15-year?
15.
So I would go back to the bank. If you're at a 3.5, and of course, some of this depends on the interest rate, your credit score, and it depends on how much equity you have in the house. But assuming you have at least, you know, enough equity and you have a really good credit score, yeah, I would go back and say, listen, I think mortgage rates have ticked down a bit. I'm getting other offers that seem to be less than what I'm, you know, what we're doing here. Is there anything else that you can do? Now, a lot of times loans are coming with one free opportunity to sort of lower the interest rate.
To re-refi?
It's not even a refi, Steve. It's more like, oh, interest rates have floated down, and they'll let your rate float down with it.
Really?
For no extra charge.
So is there a limit to how many times you can refinance?
No, you can refinance as often as you want. So if you've already closed on your loan, then you're looking at a refi and you just pay the cost. But if you're a point below, and now it's, let's say, for a 15-year, 2.5%, you could easily get, or 2.67.
How about 3.5 is too much? How about we live in a world now where 3.5 is an outrageous number? How dare you?
My first loan, I had 11.75%.
I was trying to think, too. Yeah, the first house I bought.
Lucky to get it. People think I charged it on a credit card when I tell them this
story. Yeah, the first house I bought, I bet, was 10 or 11%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and people are complaining about this, and millennials are like, no, I'd rather pay $4,000 a month for a one-bedroom.
What is the, when you say good credit score, what, ballpark it. What's a good credit score now?
So the top credit score is somewhere between 760 and 780.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of interesting.
I just looked at my credit rating the other day. I'm not being a smartass here. I just looked at my credit rating the other day. It was 810.
Right.
What, did I get bonus points?
You're definitely a good one.
Did I get bonus points for something?
No, anything over 780 and you're sort of in the top group. But the fact that you're at 810 is great.
So 760 to 780 is the sweet spot.
It's sort of the sweet spot.
If
you're down in the fives, like 550, 580, you're going to have a really hard time. Anything under 600, 6.25 on a FICO score, you're going to have a really hard time getting a loan. One other thing to keep in mind, so a lot of times first-time buyers and actually people who just want to trade down are like, oh, there's nothing to buy, it's all so expensive, and that's been true. But next year, they're in Chicago, something like 5,000 new condos are being built right now, and they're going to start to come online over the next year or two, and there's going to be a whole lot more inventory, and so people might be able to find that prices are getting a little bit more reasonable.
That's good. That's good. You're good. And I'm sorry that your children are leaving home, but it's the right thing to do. I'm told, even though I've never accepted that my children left home, and it happened more than 10 years ago.
Do they come back, Steve? That's what I need to know. Do they come back?
Yeah, they do, actually.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, they still like me. At least yeah.
Every other holiday, at least.
Yeah. Tell me they still like me.
Trust me, they always come back.
good. I'm happy and waiting.
All right, enjoy the day, and thank Glink.com for everything you, right?
Sounds good.
All right, see ya. Six 24. John DeCosta is here. Before we give you a little news wrap that's happening in the world, John, you have new YouTube videos up on your YouTube account?
Yes.
What's up now?
I believe this one is Voices in My Head.
That's the new video, or you're just talking about the voices in your head?
I don't know.
Probably both, I guess.
I think both.
Yeah, right. If we want to see any of the fine work you do on YouTube, what's your YouTube account address?
You go to YouTube Today Into Cause.
So you just search Today Into Cause and it'll come up?
Right, DACOSSE.
And if I wanted to waste the entire day, and I do mean waste, by looking at all of your videos, how long would it take me?
There's about 35 videos. They're about 30 seconds, maybe about 17 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
You could lunch break. I'm telling everybody to do it on your lunch break.
These videos are all free.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a good business model.
Yeah. That's, they're actually, well, they're not free to me. They're actually costing me money.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
That's true. And again, we want to thank people that came out to this show Saturday night in Aurora at the Bell Sal Banquet Center. You and I and Mike Toomey had a fine time. Everybody else is still celebrating Sandberg's wedding. You know, it was a whole weekend. What did I say? Saturday?
Friday.
It was Friday?
Friday.
Yeah. Saturday I wasn't there. And so thanks to them. Oh, and by the way, we were told afterwards that there was a ticketing mess up where some people were calling and maybe weren't able to get tickets. And we apologize for that. And because of that, Toomey and DeCosta and I will come to your house and do a show.
Yeah, we talked about it then, Leanne, and it's perfect. We'll do the same show.
Yeah, in people's homes.
In people's
homes. Now, it's going to be one house at a time. It's going to take some time. But we'll get to you.
Yeah, but we got to do
it. Stay alive. We'll find you.
We'll be there.
At 626, one of the great bits of sportsmanship you'll ever see. Dave, what was the Olympics? Was it Atlanta where the sprinter blew out his Achilles and his dad came on the track?
I believe it was Atlanta, yeah.
And I was a sprinter. I think it was a 400 he was running.
Yeah, it was a long
And his dad came on the track and put his arm around him and helped him across the finish line. And a couple of Olympic officials came down and say, "It's not going to count if you help him." And then, of course, he said, "You're missing the point. Get out of here. I'll punch you in the face." Mm-hmm. And he helped his son across the finish line. And I swear, I've seen that thing 1,000 times. I cry every time I see it.
Yep. Yeah. And it got referenced a lot.
Father
yesterday.
And son. And it got referenced why, Dave?
Because there was, in one of the races, there was a runner from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
There was a collision.
With an American woman.
With an American.
Right.
And the American helped the New Zealand runner to her feet.
Instead of continuing to run.
Instead of continuing to run.
At complete peril to her opportunity to win.
Yep.
Right.
And in fact, when they got to the finish, the New Zealand runner was still struggling. And
I thought the American woman found out she was hurt more. Wasn't it the American woman
who
realized
race,
her knee was hurt more?
Yeah, that was Abby D'Agostino. She actually, the New Zealand girl tripped her. So they were both down, and then they were.
But the American helped the New Zealander up, and then the New Zealander was like chugging ahead a little bit.
Yes.
She turned around, and the American woman fell because her knee crumpled.
She kept falling because her knee buckled.
And then the New Zealander stopped, and they helped each other.
Helped each other.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Then called for for medical help right at the finish.
Yeah. And the D'Agostino American, she came in last, but she made it. And this was, you know, a 5,000 meter race. So this took, it's a long race. And she, I think,
she
fell in
Uber.
Like the third. Lap or fourth lap, and she made it the whole rest of the way.
Poor thing.
It was, and then she was off in a wheelchair after that.
The IOC, to their credit, which I rarely say, has qualified both of them for the final.
Now, if they can run.
If they can run, exactly.
That's really cool.
So that was a nice move, even if it's just a symbolic gesture. But that was a cool thing. And then, and sportsmanship, and just a quick survey in the room. Think guys would have done that?
You know,
I think some.
I think. Some would too. I really do.
Have we ever seen it in the Olympics? besides the dad?
I think you know, there's been such an amazing show of sportsmanship. Did you see Usain Bolt was being interviewed by a British journalist after he won the other night? And there was a different medal ceremony going on. I think it might have even been for the United States. And he said, please, we need to stop for the medal ceremony.
Oh, that's great.
And then he watched. I'm pretty sure it was the United States, the national anthem, that he stopped and he just, you know, kind of put his hands together and listened and, you know, was being respectful to the national anthem that was being played, which I thought was really nice.
Very nice. And there was a great photo that came up last weekend that nobody talked about, including me. And it was a North Korean and South Korean athlete taking a selfie together. And in a part of the world that is as dangerous and is at each other, more so than any place else, maybe other than, you know, when the Palestinian and Israeli fight gets churned up again. It was really cool to see, because that's the hope, right? It's this generation of Koreans that's going to determine whether or not that peninsula survives.
Right.
Well, but you also saw... And we talked about this last week, the Egyptian judo fighter who would not shake hands with the Israeli, and they ended up sending him home. Well, in judo,
that's sportsmanship as well. They kicked him out.
He would not bow.
Yeah.
He would not shake hands. Yeah. He backed away from him
and
got booed.
Right.
And then he got sent home.
Yeah. So, and I would call that sportsmanship as well by the IOC.
Mm-hmm.
So. So anyway, so that's an Olympic turn or two, and the flying squirrel, what's her name, Simone Biles?
Simone Biles, yes.
She actually hit her head last night. Did you see that?
I didn't see her head, no.
It was in her floor exercise. She hit her head on the roof of the gym.
Oh.
Yeah, she flew straight up so high.
Serious.
But she won the gold, and Allie Raisman, let me tell you something. All I want to do is watch Allie Raisman's parents.
They're
just unbelievable.
Any parent,
how do they not have an endorsement deal with Maalox? They should have a commercial.
That poor woman
for Maalox.
She's got to be the most stressed out woman I've ever seen.
Well, and they keep talking about the husband stressed out. The husband's stressed out because she's stressed out.
Oh yeah, completely.
He's just sitting there and going, "Can we just watch her?"
I mean, how long have they been watching her? Forever. It's like, lady.
Oh, my God. She just is in a full... She's in a five-alarm panic from the moment she sits down.
I mean, I think they're enjoying it because... I think that they...
Like
not during, but I think they're enjoying the spotlight. And I saw them interviewed over the weekend, and I think they kind of get it that everybody's looking at them and... Sort of feeling for them, but maybe
does she smile?
Laughing a little bit.
Did they get? But they were realizing that she's over the top. Mom.
Yes, they understand. They get it.
God, it's just the best.
It is funny to watch.
I listen. Allie Raisman is an unbelievable athlete. I don't care. Show the parents,
right?
Or you know what they ought to do is a split screen. Replay the entire routine with a split screen. What have I got to produce the Olympics now?
Wait, you're not seeing enough of them?
No.
You want more?
I want more of the parents. There have been some great parent shows. This is the one thing NBC has done well, is showing the parents as their children compete at the highest level.
There's plenty of room in there for the parents.
Now, maybe too much of Michael Phelps' mom. God bless her. But the woman's on TV more than
she
is.
She probably already has an endorsement deal.
So.
And the baby.
Yeah, Boomer's got to have a contract by now.
I was just watching her new TV show.
Michael's mom?
Yeah, Michael's mom.
It's called Michael's mom?
Michael's mom. Well, it's on Lifetime. Right. It's so good.
Lifetime. Right.
It is so good.
And the weird thing is she can't swim. That's the hook. It's 6:32. Let's come back with the big story next, and we'll still get to the news wrap. Got a little bogged down with the Olympics for obvious reasons, but we'll come back and more of that on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Law and order time. That was supposedly part of Trump's speech last night as well. More politics later. The woman in Baltimore, remember when the riots occurred in Baltimore? Was it last summer? And all the cops now have been tried and not convicted. But the woman who got famous because her son was in the middle of the riots and she came over and grabbed him and dragged his skinny butt home. Had a terrible thing yesterday. He lost her home in the fire, in a fire, and we don't know the nature of the fire. But people are trying to start a GoFundMe page or something equivalent to help her out. So that's in the news today as well. 6:45. Karen Conti joins us. You can hear Karen on the Noonan thing on Sunday nights.
Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing well.
We'll talk to you about this Lisa Madigan thing in a second. But first, am I the only one who didn't watch Making a Murderer?
You know, I didn't watch the whole long thing. I watched one of those abbreviated one-hour shows about it. And I understand it was very good, and I understand it exposed a lot of bad things about how he was prosecuted. But the case has really captured the attention of the nation, and it's kind of surprising to me.
He had a legal decision come down that is tied to this. Brendan Dassey, this is the 16-year-old, right?
He's the nephew of Stephen Avery, yeah.
And he's getting out? Is that the plan?
Well, hopefully.
The court ruled after all these years that his confession was not voluntary. Basically, he's a 16-year-old. He had a very low IQ. He was in the interrogation room for about 3 hours. The police, as usual, used techniques that were false. And, you know, this is what they do to get confessions. And normally speaking, anything is fair in that interrogation room. But as far as for a 16-year-old with a low IQ, the court said, we're not going to accept this. And we're going to throw out the conviction based upon this confession. So that's good for him. They may retry him. They probably will because of the nature of the case, but it's a start.
And is it Adnan Syed? The subject of the Serial podcast is going to get a new trial as well?
Yeah, that's another interesting case. Again, I think that it's a very interesting point that the media can really generate enough interest in these things. Not that it's going to change the mind of the judges, because that's really not what should be happening, but it does make the judge, I would think, a little bit more aware of the issue, a little bit more, I don't know, aware of the scrutiny, and maybe starts looking, you know, the judges are going to look at things a little more carefully when it's in the media's eye.
The real crime stuff is big, big TV now. It gets big ratings. All right, so the Making of a Murderer thing, is the guy that's still in, is he guilty? Andrea?
I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, no. I watched the whole thing. Karen, I was obsessed with this. I loved The Making a Murderer. I loved the series. He was in the first time he was falsely imprisoned because he was in prison for a rape case and the DNA came back, showed he didn't do it. My opinion after watching the whole thing was that I think he was set up for this as well. And Brendan Dassey, watching that videotape confession of this boy at the time, and I say boy because he was 15 or 16 at the time, was brutal to watch because he had a low IQ. They declared him a special needs. He had no lawyer, no parent in that room with him. And the police kept saying, we know you did it. 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 You did it, right? You did it, right? You did it, right? For hours. Finally, he said, yeah. Can I go back to class now? Can I go back to school? So I don't think he had any concept. So I guess, Karen, how did they allow these confessions in when, you know, I'm not even a lawyer and clearly watching this thinking, how is this being allowed?
Well, this happens every day of the week. And again, I'm on the police side. The police can do whatever they want to interrogate people. And if people, I mean, we watch these true crime stories and we laugh at them and we go, doesn't the guy know that when he confesses, he goes to jail forever? I mean, why are you confessing? Why don't you have a lawyer? Why don't you just shut your mouth and ask for a lawyer? But people confess all the time, and it's okay. It's okay to use those techniques. But according to this judge, it's not okay when you have those factors which you laid out, which the low IQ, no parent there, and the guy had a lot, very, very low IQ, and he was subject to suggestion. This happens all the time, Andrea, and there are a lot of people behind bars because of this very thing. Again, there's a lot of scrutiny on it. We watched it. It was disturbing. The portions that I watched were extremely disturbing. And, I'm glad his conviction got overturned. Let's see if they retry him. I don't know how much evidence they have against him otherwise.
You know who I think they ought to lock up is Keith Morrison, the NBC news guy who hosts Dateline, all the murder shows. You know that guy?
You know what?
That guy with the voice?
Yeah.
Oh, no, like Keith Morrison's. And then they came and got me. They took me to jail for murder.
That's really good.
It creeps me out.
So, Doc, this could be your next job, Steve.
Yeah. Remember, I'm a man of three or four voices. Mary's here with you, traffic, and then I want to ask you about the Attorney General's move on those emails that relate to the Laquan McDonald case and the larger privacy issue. .655, Kerry Conti's here. Laquan McDonald shooting emails being ordered to be released by Lisa Madigan. Is that the summation?
It is. And the question is, when you're a police officer and you're using your personal cell phone to talk about business, are those subject to the Freedom of Information Act request? And Lisa Madigan said resoundingly, absolutely. And there's been a lot of precedent for this, so Lisa's opinion is not a surprise to us as lawyers. When you ask for Freedom of Information or Open Act meetings documents, if someone is conducting business on their personal cell phone, which I think we all do to some extent, that is also subject to the request because it really is important to get all of the information to put transparency into government, and to just use your cell phone to avoid that is not acceptable. And she issued an opinion, and it's now binding on everybody. So this is going to change things, I think, in Illinois just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not against the action, but I am concerned about the privacy piece of it. So is there an argument to be made that since these were private emails, that there's a privacy argument that can be made, or because of the nature of the case and the circumstances, that's going to fall short?
Well, certainly if the emails on your phone are going to be personal in nature, you're talking to your wife, you're talking to your kids, that is not discoverable, and those things are excluded. But if you're talking about how are we going to cover up this murder, or how are we going to change the documents, or talking to your boss about what happened at work, those are all going to be clearly discoverable and producible. And you know what? I think we're in an age, Steve, where we have to understand that. I mean, even people working for private industry, if you're using your emails on your phone and there's a lawsuit against your company, say for discrimination or something like that, there's no question that your phone records can be subpoenaed and that you're going to have to produce them if they relate to the business. So we have to get used to the idea that if you're using your personal cell phone for business, it's not private anymore.
You're on with Noonan every Sunday night at what time?
From 8 to 9 o'clock, answering legal questions.
Does he live at your house, or does he have his own place?
He has his own place. Sometimes we have pajama parties, though.
Okay. Wow. Well, I got to try to get that image out of my head. To get a hold of you at your firm, what do people do?
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Thanks for the education, Professor. It's Steve Cochran at 658. The text question of the day, what's your favorite app? Favorite app. And, you know, don't go Google. Favorite app, a little something that people may not know about. The conversation came up because Andrea has an app to find clean toilets.
Well, no, you should give a teeny bit of background on that. When I work at Channel 9, you know, we're sometimes in areas where there's not a bathroom completely accessible. So one of the photographers said, download this app called Flush. It's got a little picture of toilet paper on it. So it tells you all the clean public bathrooms in the area where you are. Because what if, you know, you're way out and... You know, there's not a lot of department stores around or
and they're rated by the people, like self-rated.
Yeah. It's not my favorite app.
So it's like Waze. It's like Waze is a self-rating traffic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Self-reporting traffic thing. So Flush.
Yeah, it's just an interesting one that I have.
All right. Favorite app that maybe we don't know about. That's your text question today, 312-981-7200. News next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
At the end of every weekend, I review the details of the violence that occurs in some of our communities, and quite frankly, I'm just sick of it. There's no other way to describe it. I'm just sick of it. This weekend alone, 77% of the victims of violence are known to the police. These same individuals have been arrested a total of 672 times. 77% of the victims this weekend are known to police. This point is not to re-victimize those affected by the unacceptable violence, but to further illustrate that we are identifying and arresting individuals with a lack of accountability when they commit these crimes.
7:13, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, story in the Sun-Times from Chris Fusco and Jordan Owen, who are both here this morning. About violent crime in Chicago is not going to make your day, but it is another bright light that ought to be shown on a problem that really comparatively doesn't equal what we're seeing for violent crime statistics around the country. Either one of you guys, isn't that true? I mean, the violent crime stats around the country for major cities seem to be down.
Well, I think murders and shootings and such in some of the major metropolitan areas are up. But yeah, to see what we see in these numbers seems incredibly unusual, with virtually every category of crime, serious crime, violent crime, up double-digit percentage increases.
Every number matters because every number represents a life, Jordan. So what type of numbers are we talking about?
We have had more than 400 murders as of this week in Chicago.
That's not shootings, kids. That's murders.
Murders. No, and we're in the thousands for shootings this year. But we were at 425 homicides this year in Chicago as of Friday. That number only went up over the weekend when more than 60 more people were shot, 9 fatally. And just this week, 13 people were wounded in shootings Monday. There were no fatalities on Monday. On Tuesday, 3 people were killed and 10 were wounded. And 28 people total were killed in Chicago just last week.
I don't know that the blame game matters here, because the problem needs to be addressed. It needs to be stopped. I don't even know that it matters how we got here. What matters is what we do from this point forward. So, Chris, are you guys finding anything from the city that is proactive in this regard, or are they just trying to stop the bleeding?
Well, it's interesting you played those comments from Superintendent Johnson, and the narrative that we kind of know who the criminals are and we know the victims are and we've had contact with them is something that's been very new under his tenure. And I think it's probably a good thing to be talking about that. McCarthy seemed to be focused a lot more on just the statistics and taking guns off the street. If you've noticed the police narrative while remaining focused on guns, and there's some comments from the police spokesman in this story, the narrative is changing a little bit, and I think the awareness is this route they're trying to go. Now, they did say on Friday they were doing some targeted gang patrols, special op patrols. These are things that they used to do maybe a little bit more in the 2000s. Kind of got away from that, got away to more of this overtime saturation. So we'll see. You know, there's one thing is certain. We've had no good solution over the past couple of years, and the numbers play out.
And Jordan, for everybody that's going to work on Michigan Avenue in front of us this morning or living in a nice safe suburb, safe in quotes, is this still a handful of neighborhoods problem, or is it spreading?
It's definitely spreading. Just this year in the first district alone, which is the downtown area, murders are up more than 50%. Given that that number jumped from 2 murders last year in 2015 to 5 so far this year in 2016, and it's still a relatively few number, but the crime problem is everywhere in the city. There are certain districts on the south and west sides where it's more concentrated and it's really, really high. But even in Lakeview, we see shootings. Last night, Tuesday evening in River West, there was a fatal shooting. It's everywhere in the city. Everyone should be worried about it, not just if you live on the south and west sides.
I think you're right, Jordan. I think what Eddie Johnson's trying to do, and I've seen this in the 9th District too, and some of the west side districts, is that he's trying to get the police and members of the community together to talk, which is all well and good, and these meetings seem to be productive. But then you face the situation where it's not just a turf war anymore. You know, it's his turf versus his turf, or her turf perhaps, but maybe more so his turf versus his turf. It's this random spray of gunfire that is hitting random people walking out of Starbucks or the little girl sitting on the porch. So it's really what can be done about the randomness of it.
Well, and you've got this element of distrust of the police that is complicating everything. People just don't trust law enforcement like they used to because of the situations with shootings of young unarmed black men. You know, you listen to the experts we talk to, you listen to Dean Angelo, president of FOP. He talks about everybody being emboldened, the criminals being emboldened. And the numbers bear that out. On the north side, you are more likely to get robbed than you were last year. I mean, in Rogers Park, the number of robberies has gone up from 99 to 191 cases.
But why spread it? Because it's territory, it's business. We're you know, I'm not being flip here when I say this. We're franchising, we're moving into neighborhoods where we can make more money.
I don't know if so much that we're moving into neighborhoods and we make more money. I think we're just more emboldened to show that, you know, given the way the police have kind of, I think, been hit in public opinion, criminals will feed off that.
But I've talked to cops who have said these kids don't drive. These kids will treat it like a job. They get on a bus at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They'll come over. They'll rob people in Lincoln Park and they'll go home.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of extensive reporting on the kid who robbed Mayor Emanuel's son, and the consensus of folks who knew him and people you talk to is that sometimes there's just a situation where you're looking to roll a victim, and you know, you're going to get some money out of that. You're going to get a phone. It helps put food on the table, and that's the reality of some folks in Chicago.
Stick around for a second if you can. Sun Times, by the way, suntimes.com, and is the article's online if you don't pick up the paper. By the way, buy the paper. Would it kill you to buy the paper? Pick up the paper. Pick up a couple of copies of the paper.
Absolutely.
Please do.
Justice system so that gangbangers with literally 27 to 50 arrests are on the streets, and we know that they are either going to be a victim or a perpetrator of a crime. And it is wrong. And we can do something different. So I would say to you, beyond the particular case of what's in the news and the decision that will come, we cannot have an either-or choice or a false choice that everybody has to pick sides. We have to work together, bring in that level of transparency.
How you guys doing?
Good. That level of transparency, but also a new level of accountability throughout the system.
And I got to keep on this and call for these guys to get removed.
Did the IG's report recommend getting rid of Escalante?
Same thing yesterday. There was nothing new. We are not allowed to ask the question.
Mayor getting beat up a little bit by reporters afterwards when he refused to talk about whether the police officers at the scene of the Laquan McDonald shooting ought to be disciplined, but talking about his take on what Chris Fusco and Jordan Owen from the Sun-Times addressed just a few moments ago, and the fact that these people are back on the streets after multiple arrests. These people, in quotes, being multiple offenders and multiple offenders with guns. You were talking about guns in the break.
Yeah, we were talking about guns, and I think one part of the problem, I mean, again, it's just an opinion, but is that there are so many guns on the street, and it's so easy to get a gun. And we were all talking about different examples that we've had, you know, situations where we've been offered, hey, what do you need? You want to buy a gun? It's so easy to do that. I mean, do you think that's contributing to the problem, too?
Absolutely.
Yep. Hold on. Let me get your mic. Try again.
Absolutely. I believe that's part of the problem. I mean, we get press releases from cops every once in a while. Hey, we made this arrest and we got this many guns off the street. But I think it just makes a dent. I don't know if it really does enough.
Chris, what are you hearing about the availability of guns? We know they're more than ever on the street. So, you know, the write-off here for people, we go, well, look, if a bad guy wants a gun, he can get a gun. Well, yeah, if you get them with a fill-up at BP, it's easier.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we have all been to the press conferences where the guns are on the table and we're seeing assault rifles and assault weapons, and there just seems to be no reason that those things need to be publicly available on the street, right, or illegally available. Now, on the flip side, I think sometimes we get a little too gun nutty. Something comes up or one of those press conferences happen or there's awareness about it, the NRA gets its hackles up and everybody's like, oh, they're coming to take our guns.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it shifts the focus away from maybe trying to formulate a new strategy or, you know, building more trust in the police department, getting officers out of their cars and onto the street.
Well, you were talking about the neighborhoods, too, and the cliched no snitch policy that is better or worse than it used to be from what you found. Boy, either one of you.
You would know that one better than me, Jordan.
I definitely. I mean, every time, even to reporters, people don't want to talk. When you go to the scene of a crime, oftentimes their neighbors don't want to give their names. If you read our story.
But is that to protect themselves against the gun or gang violence in the neighborhoods, or because they don't trust you guys?
I think it's both. I think it's probably that they want to protect themselves from people in the neighborhood. They don't want to be involved. They definitely don't want their name in the paper. But it just contributes to the problem. If people aren't willing to even talk to us or to the police, you know, there's no way to get any information.
I think there's probably many a criminal who would rather sit in Cook County Jail than snitch on their fellow
Absolutely.
Gang member.
Absolutely.
Speaking of sitting in jail, one of the raps on McCarthy is under the McCarthy years or during the McCarthy years, the gang leaders, the older gang leaders who had some control over the gang members were all rounded up and put in jail. And now there's no hierarchy. It's sort of the same way that the traditional mob broke apart. And without the leadership, you now have blocks that are being fought for as opposed to neighborhoods. And it sounds crazy to people who go, well, they're bad guys, put them away. But was Chicago better off with these gang leaderships in place who would go, it's 3:00, don't go near the schools?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think there's a social media component to this. I think a lot of times the gang wars used to be over drugs. I think now it can be, you posted something about my girlfriend on social media, I'm going to come get you. There's been rap-related killings. A young rapper named Young Pappy was gunned down, and others were killed in the process of him being killed by hit by stray bullets.
I can't tell you how many times I get a name from the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. As soon as they release it, I go to their Facebook page, I look at their Twitter, and half the times it's, I'm here, come out here. And then the next thing you know, we're getting
Somebody's
their name.
Dead.
Right, exactly.
Or they're
all
posing
the time.
With the flashing the gang
sometimes,
signs.
Sometimes
or
they're doing
the
something like that. Or even just like the man a couple months ago in March who was live streaming on Facebook. Here's where I am. He's drinking from a bottle. And then he gets gunned down live on Facebook.
For any big problem, there's a short, medium, and long-term solution, right? The long-term solution is to change the culture. The medium-term solution is to try to give jobs and other opportunities to these kids. Mm-hmm. What's the short-term solution? What are people telling you?
You know,
I mean, what do you do this weekend?
Yeah, I think building trust back up in the police department is really important in these communities. I think finally, you know, whereas before it would oftentimes we wouldn't get to see if there was a dash cam, not dash cam video or street camera video. We'd never see that. You know, we try FOIAs, this, that, court orders, everything's. I think Laquan McDonald has changed the narrative a little bit. I look at the work Tim Novak and I did on David Koshman trying to pry documents loose in a case of a suburban white kid being killed in a politically connected. I mean, it took us forever. You know, I think back to 10 years ago, there were probably street camera videos of that incident, given the number of cameras around that area. We've never seen it. Didn't know they exist. Now, hopefully, that is done in a constructive way. Now you can see the public, you know, it's the same. It's pendulum swings, right? We see the McDonald video. Now, every video that you see of a police shooting, well, look at that, what that cop did, and it might not be that clear.
There's got to be a balance.
Right. But I think that's a good step in the right direction to talking honestly about the problem rather than just maybe blaming it on the number of guns.
What about, and this is politically not something that the mayor wants or anybody else wants because it's not photo friendly. What about flooding the worst areas with everybody from more cops to the National Guard to shut it down, to save lives? Because every weekend, it's ridiculous. 30, 40 kids every summer, a weekend getting shot?
Mm-hmm. We've had 3 kids in the last week, 6-year-olds getting shot, just as they're getting out of their car because there's gunfire sprayed. It's obviously not intended for them.
I mean, if I lived in those neighborhoods, I'd welcome the National Guard on every corner.
Yeah, and I know folks have talked a little bit about, you know, the dismantling of the high-rise housing projects as being a contributing factor to this. I don't know that there's been anything done to kind of quantitatively measure that, but what you can say is that there used to be a CHA police force prior to 2000, and the absorption of that police force into CPD has changed policy and practice there in ways that I don't know if many of us have really explored, and I think that could be another factor to put on the table in all this with the way blocks, you mentioned blocks being battled for blocks. Well, those used to be floors and buildings at Cabrini Green and Taylor and Stateway.
So. And now people live in housing all over the city that's subsidized as opposed to in one area. So you might live on a nice block in Bucktown, but have some people down the street who maybe didn't live there a few years ago and might be bringing something else to the neighborhood.
This is not a story that you report overnight, so I salute the Sun-Times for giving you guys the reach and the opportunity and the time to do that. So, again, the best way to see the story in full is on the web.
Or pick up a copy of Sunday's paper if you can find one around. Oh, there's a great graphic that goes with it that'll show you each district and what's up in that district. So that's online as well.
But this work is going to continue, obviously. So you guys need to stay in touch with us, and we'll help you big mouth it.
Of course.
Everybody at both papers is all over crime. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's we should be. So that's a good thing.
It's a great story, and as you both pointed out too, it's everywhere. I mean, specifically, Englewood, South Austin, Garfield, of course, but everywhere too now.
People need to be engaged, man. Just because you haven't been mugged doesn't mean you won't be. Just because your kid wasn't involved in getting shot doesn't mean your kid won't in the wrong spot. So I hate the idea that this is the old west, because you go anywhere in this country now and you talk about you're from Chicago and somebody go, oh boy, here it's rough there. We know that 95% of this city, you have no worries. But in the 5% of this city that there are pockets of trouble, you are definitely concerned. And now with the spread you're talking about, wake up, folks.
I mean, even over the weekend, we saw Chicago police officers shot and killed in a neighborhood that's traditionally it's not super crime heavy, even though it's on the south side. There's a lot of cops and firefighters that live in that neighborhood. It's traditionally pretty safe. But if even a Chicago police officer's son can be shot and killed, and we're still not entirely sure why, no one's really perfectly safe.
The frustration we have, and I know you guys share this frustration, is to try to guide people on what to do, what to do and what to ask for. They don't trust the politicians either. And if you don't trust the politicians to spend the money to get something done or to vote the way you should vote, as opposed to just for politics and stuff too. So this lack of belief in all the areas of leadership is really the biggest problem to me.
And what you're citing there, Steve, is historically, I mean, I look at the stories we were doing on Neighborhood Recovery Initiative under Governor Quinn, and just millions of dollars out the door unaccounted for. You know, we've done numerous stories about state grant fraud, tens of millions of dollars given to groups, and just it just evaporates. And I just, I know people talk a lot about ceasefire and that strategy, and groups like that are great, but there's got to be accountability mechanisms in place to make sure. And I'm not speaking specifically of ceasefire. I don't know much about, their travails in history, but, if the money's going to go out the door for job programs and whatnot, there's got to be a way to make sure it's getting done, because that is a good solution. I mean, you hear Father Flager talking about that for years on the South Side. Give us jobs and we'll take away violence.
Yeah, opportunity. Opportunity where the gang is not the answer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So nice to see both of you, and you're always welcome here. Jordan Owen and Chris Fusco from your Chicago Sun-Times. See it online and get the paper, will you? Get three copies today. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
Sean Devaney, at Sean Devaney, S-E-A-N-D-E-V-E-N-E-Y, sporting news, NBA writer, wrote the book Fun City, eats a lot of buffalo wings, spent a lot of time in Chicago. He's in Rio dancing to this right now. Don't deny it, Sean, you know you are.
I've been dancing for 2 weeks now.
So what do we have to get excited about now that gymnastics and swimming is over?
Well, there's a pretty good sprinter who's trying to set some records. Usain Bolt, of course, in the 200 and then the 4x100 meter relay. I think that that's probably still the highlight event that that everybody's going to be watching. There's handball. So you got that too.
I felt like you were really doing well till you threw handball.
Don't laugh at that. Handball's serious stuff.
No, listen, handball, you got to train just as hard as you do for everything else. That's exactly right.
That's right.
It does feel like these Olympics were front loaded with the money shots, though, with the real, the eye catching, eyeball grabbing stuff. Seemed like it was all up front.
Yeah, I think part of that is that certainly from Team USA's perspective, that the swimming program is so great, the gymnastics program on the female side is so great, and the track and field is not quite where it's been in the past. So you don't have a Carl Lewis or a Michael Johnson that you're really excited to watch. Our best sprinter is Justin Gatlin, who has had a couple of doping suspensions in his past, and it's maybe a little harder to root for. So I think that folks, it usually goes, swimming and then into the gymnastics and then into the track and field as far as the highlight events. And the fact that Team USA track is sort of at a down point right now, I think that that's why the rest of these Olympics are maybe a little tougher to get up for.
Talking to Sean Devaney, Sporting News, NBA is his normal beat, but he's at the game. So the yawn U.S. Olympic men's basketball team should wrap it up at what time today?
Well, they start at 6:45 my time, which I think is 4:45 your time. Argentina, that's who they're playing. This team has been on the brink of suffering a loss over and over and over again in this tournament. And Argentina is probably the last team they want to see, because Argentina is everything that Team USA is not. They know each other. You've got Ginobili, Scola, and Nocioni, of course, who folks in Chicago know. They've got those three guys. They've been together for about 15 years, so they have this familiarity with each other. They're old, but they know each other. And you watch Team USA, and this is a team that doesn't have the star power that they did in 2012. And more than that, they don't have any cohesion. They don't know each other. So it'll be interesting. It's a pretty drastic clash. If you think back to 2002, that was the first time that a team of NBA players, there was the World Championships in Indianapolis. That was the first time that Team USA lost, and that was to Argentina. So, yeah, on a lot of levels, this is not the team that Team USA wants to see right now.
And, Dave, you're predicting an upset win by Argentina.
No, I'm not.
You placed your money on Argentina,
no,
Dave, Bennett. Is that accurate?
I don't bet the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
But Sean, one of the criticisms of the U.S. team is that the roster is flawed, and you, I don't know if you've seen the comments by Charles Barkley, who maintains that you got a bunch of guys who are basically one-on-one players. And you have these guys who are individually very good scorers, but you mentioned the lack of cohesiveness. Do you think he's got a valid point, that maybe going forward they'll look at how they construct this roster to see that they don't get too many, they don't get top-heavy with that sort of player?
You know, I thought about that, but I think that what I would say to Charles is, okay, who do you want to have on there? Because they asked everybody, and a lot of people said no. And this was, you know, because of the fears of Zika and things like that. And then you had some guys who were just plain tired from being in the NBA Finals and such. So, you know, I think it's easy to lob that criticism, but let's hear what your answer is, you know, and that's part of the problem. I think he's right in that they don't have enough passing. I think the guy who they miss the most is not LeBron and not Steph Curry. I think it's actually Chris Paul. I think that they need a legitimate point guard who can be a playmaker. That's not Kyrie Irving and Kyle Lowry. Those are the only two point guards they brought. But again, you know, they asked Steph Curry. They asked Chris Paul. You know, you go right through all the point guards, Damian Lillard. You know, they all said no. So, you know, it's. I think it's easy to say, well, they should do this, they should do that. They tried. It's just that, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, were afraid to come down here or wanted to use the summer to get some rest.
So I know you've talked to a lot of people back here since you've been there, but what's your favorite thing you've seen or experienced that doesn't fit in any of those interviews or phone calls?
You know, certainly the Usain Bolt. I went out to see him at the 100-meter sprint on Sunday night, and as great as the race itself was, to be in the building was great. And I took some time and walked around, you know, they say you're not supposed to do that, but it was fun. And just to feel the atmosphere of the local people and the bars that were all hopping and you had the samba music. So, you know, a lot of what's going on here, you know, doesn't really make it onto TV, but it's a lot of fun to watch to see how people are reacting. You know, I think the negatives get a lot of the attention. You know, obviously there's been protests and there's a nasty recession going on here. There's a lot of poverty. You see it all around you, but you also see a lot of people who really are enjoying this. A lot of local Brazilians who you know, really do like having the Olympics here. You just don't hear that much from them.
And speaking of the locals, Dave, I know this isn't your area of interest as well, but an overabundance of beautiful women in Rio is what I've been told.
Yeah,
more than their fair share. Sean, is that your reporting? You're reporting that as well?
I haven't had time for that. What are you talking about?
He's working. And how devastating.
I haven't been on Copacabana Beach. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, how devastating was this loss by in beach volleyball last night? Uh-huh. I mean, that was a stunner, yeah. I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little tough because Walsh, you know, didn't have her normal partner with her. Obviously, he was trying to try to pull through without Misty May. So it was you know, a little surprising, but again, not too surprising. It was sort of a new team there, and they were going up against an experienced team. So it was you know, certainly they were the favorites, but I don't think anybody should be too surprised that they lost.
Appreciate the time, and enjoy the rest of your stay. Please try to get some rest, Sean. You do have work to do when you get back to report on how lame the Bulls will be this season, and we're counting on you. Sean Devaney
well,
with
thanks a lot, guys.
All right, man. Thank you. Sean Devaney with the Sporting News at Sean Devaney, SEANDEVENEY. Dave, I'm going to have you hold off on your presentation for Andrea. Dave has a presentation for Andrea. I'm going to hold off just a second on that because we have more Olympic news here in this kind of Olympic half hour. There is a rumor that Tokyo may lose the 2020 Games.
How so?
I don't know much about this, but there's a push to bring the Games to the United States again. Let's
what?
Go to the phone. Joining us now is an IOC representative. I'm sorry, I don't have your name. An IOC representative in Alabama. Good morning.
Good morning there. This is Hyrith Cuthbert from Baldwin County up by Burnt Corn.
Hyrith Cuthbert from Baldwin County up by Burnt Corn. Is there a field fire?
No.
What's
no.
Burnt Corn?
That's the name of the town.
Of Burnt Corn, Alabama.
Yeah, I'm from the IOC. We called it the IOC here in Alabama. It's a acronym. It really means I like the eye you look at. Oh, when you see something you like, you go oh, and then C.
Sorry, sir.
She goes back to the eye.
I'm sorry, sir. Your phone line started to break up. Now, you said it's an acronym. Is that like an acronym?
I don't think they're similar.
Okay. So why would the IOC take the games from Tokyo, where they've been awarded and construction's underway, and put them in Alabama?
Well, first of all, I've never been to Tokyo, and I said I'm going to go there, but I think it's pretty far east. I think it's near Savannah, so we ain't going. But we're here in Alabama. We're going to move it. We got more track and field. We got tons of track. You can't believe the amount of railroad track we got in this state. And the fields, we's known for our fields.
So you got tracks and fields. What other venues are ready to go?
Well, right now we got the Bobby Goldsboro State Park, and that's huge. That's just huge. And next to that is the George Lindsay or the Goober Dome.
The Goober Dome. Well, that's where a lot of the events would take place. Where would everybody swim? Would they be in the creek?
Well, we got Dawson's Creek. You can do that. We got you can do your synchronized swimming pretty close to that area.
Right. Is that like synchronized swimming?
No, I think this is everybody does it at the same time.
Oh, okay, got it. Got it completely.
Yeah, they had called us to do an equestrian, and I said, hey, that's fine. We'll have one of them. If you're from the country of Equestria, you are more than welcome into Alabama.
Okay. All right, so the Alabama games. You might have something here. You might not, but you might have something here. And you have track and field set up. What about gymnastics? What about gymnastics?
Well, they asked me if we had a pommel horse. I said we got Quarter, Appaloosa, Pershing, Shetland, got a little pony for the little people. I don't bought no pommel.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the pommel horse either. But is there a place where the great gymnastics teams could actually perform, maybe win more gold?
Yeah, that's probably Frank's house.
All right. So, again, just to review, there's plenty of tracks, a whole lot of field. You could do the gymnastics at Frank's house, and the track and field will take place in the Goober Dome.
You can't pass this up.
What?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I think I've only had the pleasure of meeting Robert Jordan on a couple of occasions in the last 20 years. He's a funny guy and a very nice guy and an absolute legend. Now, you see him. Dave, you see him all the time?
I see him all the time.
Love Bob. He's the
best. Is he leaving because of you, Dave?
I would hope not.
Dave.
Robert Jordan joins us now. He and Ron Majors are getting a place in the Dells together, apparently. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
You are one funny guy, man. That's right. You know, there was a comment on the feeder page from Ron Majors who said, come on in, Bob. The water's fine.
Well, that's nice. That's really nice. Listen, after all these years, and for my money, you haven't lost a step. Why now?
Well, you know, there are so many other things to do. And, you know, I'm 72, even though I feel like I'm 42.
No, you don't look 72, my friend.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I have a wonderful 4-year-old granddaughter who calls me her sidekick. And I can't spend enough time with her.
I'll bet.
And I have my own business, which is a video production company, and it's been doing real well. And so there are so many other things that I really need to do and spend more time and finally get those done. So I think it was just time.
Bob, we're going to miss you. You're such a mentor to all of us. And, I mean, I've watched you for years. I have the pleasure of working with you on the weekends. You crack me up, by the way, when you send me your funny texts, when you screenshot my picture. That's very funny, by the way. But I know now everybody's showing all these stories that you've covered all the years, politics, city and state. The funny ones, though, I really think show your sense of humor with the frozen T-shirt and the roller coasters. You got to have a favorite.
I wish. You know, I tell young journalists all the time, keep a diary, because I did in the early days and I stopped it. But the stories begin to run together and become a blur. I've done so many. As a matter of fact, when they have done this retrospective,
I don't even remember doing some of those stories, like that roller coaster at Great America. I don't remember doing that stand-up roller coaster.
I believe that completely.
Yeah. You know, we do all of these stories, and I'll come home and my wife will say, how was your day? And I'll go, and I have to remember. I have to think about it a second.
We see the people on this show. They ask me about the show 15 minutes after it's over, and I can't tell them what's on. But today will be different because I'll tell him Bob Jordan did the show. Dave, what would you like to say to apologize to Mr. Jordan for causing him to go into retirement?
Oh, no, I don't think. I would hope, Bob, that you don't feel I was in any way responsible for you retiring. But I've
yes,
really...
it was. It was all your fault.
Thank you. I have really enjoyed it. I've spent many a Saturday night in that studio alongside Bob and Jackie filling in for Rich King over the years. And it's a it really been an honor and a pleasure to sit alongside you. I mean, everything everybody is saying about you and your status as a legend is right on the money. It really is.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave. I mean, you and Andrea, and we've been so lucky to work at WGN over the years. We haven't had a large turnover. And I think part of the popularity of the stations, both stations, is that people get to know us. And, you know, there's Steve Sanders there, and I'm there, and Jackie. Jackie and I have been together now, the longest anchor team in Chicago, after Linda and Sylvia broke up. We are now the longest team together. And Jackie and I are, you know, just like brother and sister, you know. She's I call her my TV wife.
Well, but here's the thing. Now, when you tell your TV wife you're leaving, I mean, you know, aside from the personal nature of that conversation, I'm guessing that was about as tough a conversation as you probably had to have.
It was. It really was. We sat in her office and talked. And I mean, when I told her, she said, because I had started out with so many other things and leading up to it, and because I didn't know how to break the news, you know, and she's. First thing she said, thanks for burying the lead.
She's fake outrage, and, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, she probably is, right? Because I'm sure she's happy for you.
Oh, she is. She is. And she knows all of the things that I'm doing and want to continue doing and spending more time, having worked weekends for so many years. My wife and I have missed all of the events that take place for decades on weekends. So, you know, we've gotten accustomed to it. The you know, we learned to live around that.
Sure.
And, you know, I was able to take Karen with me to work when she was a little girl. And now
look, she's got her own gig. She's doing okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right, right. So there were some good things. I was able to go back to school and do some other things like that. So, you know, you learn to adjust to whatever situation you have, and you learn to make the best of it. And, you know, that's what we've tried to do.
Bob, one of the most famous videos, I think, going around is you and Jackie at the commercial break doing your patty cake.
Their secret handshake.
Yeah, the secret. And it goes on and on and on and on. So did you guys practice that secretly? It's hilarious.
Well, you know, it started just as kind of a way to bring us back up after that first news segment. You know, we load up that first segment with all of the murders and the car accidents and the tragedies. And, you know, we get to the end of the commercial break and we turn to each other and look and go, whew, boy, that was rough. And because news people are affected by the news that we read. And so we kind of started that as a way to get us back up and bring us back up to get us, you know, ready for segment two. And it worked. And that was how we did it. And how it began over probably an 8 to 10 year period of just adding on to it and adding on and adding on. And then someone came in with a cell phone and taped us and put it on YouTube. And that's how it's been viewed
now,
and
it blew
by
up.
Around 7 million people.
Yeah, it blew up like crazy. So, listen, congratulations. I wish you and I had spent some more time together, but I couldn't be a bigger fan.
I do too, Steve.
Couldn't be a bigger fan, and I'm really excited for you. And when you listen to Bob Jordan's voice, I mean, you know, listen, the 900 number business ain't what it used to be. But I'm telling you, this voice, Bob Jordan could relax you in ways you haven't even thought of.
Oh, please. Well, thank you.
I mean, just soothing and authoritative and
Sexy.
I have a feeling he's going to be taking over this show any minute now.
Where were you when I needed an agent a few decades ago?
You never needed an agent. All the best, man. Thanks for jumping on. I know it's early, but I appreciate you doing it.
Thank you. You guys have a great show, and you're with some wonderful people there, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And thank you for inviting me. This has been an honor.
You bet, sir. And the name of the company, by the way, the video production company is?
It's Video Family Biographies.
Video Family Biographies. Google that. All right. Thank you. That's Bob Jordan.
Love you, Bob. Thanks, Bob. He's the best.
A nice man.
Oh, he's such a gentleman.
And smooth. Smooth.
And you know how you always say some of the best stuff in this studio happens when the mic is off?
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the best between Bob and Jackie is during the commercial.
I'll bet, because they're both really funny people.
They really are.
And in the midst of telling a lot of tough stories, you better have a sense of humor during the breaks, right?
And really nice people.
They're the best.
They're great.
The best, yeah.
Does Jackie pick a replacement now?
I bet Jackie will have a little bit of a say.
Here, we're not on the air, so let me just say, Larry, I'm talking to Larry Wirt now.
Okay.
Larry, reality show. Reality show. It's a reality show.
Great.
It's a reality show to pick Bob Jordan's replacement.
That would be great.
Yeah. Or throw a bunch of money at Bob's daughter to come over from 7. Huh?
Oh.
How about that? How about
that? She's excellent.
Larry, why do I have to solve all the problems? Are we back on
I'm now? Glad we didn't talk about that on the air. Yeah.
8:22, we're back after this. Dean's off today. Andre's got a couple of show business headlines to pay attention to. What are we talking about?
A couple headlines, Steve. Ellen DeGeneres. We talked about this a little earlier about the Usain Bolt meme where she's on his back running errands. She tweeted, "This is how I'm running errands from now on." A lot of people calling that racist. Ellen tweeting this morning, "That's not the case. I'm highly aware of the racism that exists in our country. It's the furthest thing from who I am."
Lighten up, Francis.
I think we can put that controversy to bed. Amber Heard has settled her divorce with Johnny Depp. She's going to give the money to charity. $7 million is what she's getting in that settlement.
It was very generous of her.
Very generous. She says most of it is going to go to charity. Johnny didn't want to go to trial. She didn't want to either. It's taken a toll on her family, and her friends. So she's going to donate most of that money, which is very nice as well. And great news for Talladega Nights fans and stepbrothers. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are re-teaming in another Sony Pictures comedy. They'll be starring in Holmes and Watson. It's Ethan Coen, who's going to be directing. So
that could be very funny.
Very funny. Yeah, of course. A knockoff of Sherlock Holmes. And one more for you, Steve. I know you were in Rio covering the Olympics. You did a really nice job. I know you've handed the baton to Dave Ennett. He has some showbiz news. So we go live now to Rio and our sports director, Dave Ennett.
A beautiful day here in Rio, too.
I wish you'd told me you were going, Dave.
Well, I'll be back.
Soon.
I will be back soon.
What's your report?
The highlight of the Olympics for... Who are you waving to?
Okay, Captain ADD, focus. Waving to listeners.
Rio.
The highlight of the...
How can you see me waving? You're in Rio.
FaceTime.
Well, that is it. It is FaceTime.
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles is making out with who?
No. She met actor Zac Efron.
Yeah, but he kissed her.
Well, yeah, but it was sort of friendly.
He planted a big one out of
it. He said, what happened was he had been tweeting all week about the gymnastics team, sending out congratulations to Biles and the final five. They finally met yesterday in Rio and said Efren, his Olympic dream came true. Said Biles, here in Rio, just call me Mrs. Efron already.
Oh, that's
isn't that
cute.
A nice
that's
story?
Cute. That's cute.
So that's our...
Oh, it's windy there in Rio. Very windy.
Yeah,
you should probably wrap it up, Dave.
Tough for the
sailing. Probably wrap it up.
Today.
Yeah, it's very windy.
Reporting live.
Don't get any of the poop water on you.
No, sorry. Reporting live from Rio, Dave Edit, WGN Sports.
Thank
back
you,
to
Dave.
You, Andre.
Yes, thank Dave, you, Dave.
Hey, Dave, what am I doing with my hands now?
You know, I thought you were waving to me.
That's not a wave.
That went well. A gold medal performance, part of our entertainment report, in for Dean Richards. I'm AD on the Steve Cochran Show. Steve, back to you.
Back to the big story in just a moment. Dave's on his way back from Rio. I hope he can get a flight on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We reject the bigotry of Hillary Clinton, which panders to and talks down to communities of color
and sees them only as votes. That's all they care about. Not as individual human beings worthy of a better future. They have taken advantage. She doesn't care at all about the hurting people of this country or the suffering she has caused them. And she, meaning she and her party officials, there has been tremendous suffering because of what they have brought.
You know, pardon the color reference, but Trump really needs to spend some money on a pot and a kettle, and preferably a black one. Really? The Democrats are taking black folks for granted? Really? And once again, it's not like there isn't fertile ground to go after Hillary Clinton. The FBI interview notes that went to Congress today are out and available. The Clinton campaign saying, hey, let everybody see him if you're just going to let the Republicans see him. Her honesty, she is just behind Satan in her honesty numbers right now.
All right, that's harsh. Boy.
And Trump wants to call her a racist? Trump, oh, come on. It just makes me nuts. Brad Welke joins me from ABC News. Brad covers this campaign, so you don't have to. I hope you get a tax credit for covering the campaign. I hope you get something extra to your Christmas tree.
Yeah, no, a lump of coal for me. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. And then he's talking to white people. He's talking to white people about the plight of black people.
That's what was so interesting to watch in this speech, was Donald Trump trying to thread the needle here as he spoke to a crowd in a suburb that is predominantly white. In fact, census data shows 1% of this community is African-American, and in the room, it was overwhelmingly white people. As he spoke, not just about Democrats and Hillary Clinton taking black votes for granted, but also then, of course, spoke to the racial tension and violence over police, saying that Hillary Clinton and Democrats had really ignored police, disrespected them, and through their actions and their words had sort of created more racial rhetoric than ever before. And so that, of course, was sort of received more warmly by this largely white audience that he was speaking to. However, as he made his pitch to black voters, that was really more about being to the television cameras. And so what you had then was this speech that was really trying to thread a pretty fine needle, and that could be the reason why he dragged his teleprompter along. This was the first time we'd seen a teleprompter used by Donald Trump at a rally, not just a policy speech.
So Scott Walker, the governor, gets on board with him after hitting him pretty hard previously. What's going on there?
Well, Scott Walker, I mean, since we saw him a lot at the Republican National Convention, and it seemed like once the tide turned to the point where Donald Trump was going to become the nominee, Scott Walker did end up sort of embracing Donald Trump, at least as a governor, you know, who had sort of seen the tides changing, took on Donald Trump, hit Hillary Clinton hard using almost the same language yesterday, saying that she was injecting race into the conversation more than it needed to be. I think he used the word she was inflaming the racial tensions more than she was helping them when she talked about police precincts having issues with race and needing to come together with communities of color.
So the Walker thing, speaking of threading the needle and fine lines and things, is he along with Kelly Ayotte here going to say, I'm voting for him, but I'm not endorsing him, or is he gone with an endorsement?
You know, I'm pretty sure he's gone ahead and used the word endorsement. I'm not. You can fact check me on that, though. I'm not sure about where Walker stands right now. But he's been pretty consistently showing up and smiling. We're in the same rooms where Donald Trump is.
So the campaign this morning announces. I mean, you know, the only thing missing is this music for the Trump campaign. Yeah. Because to this morning, they've got the speech last night, which you ought to be able to generate some news of. But this morning, they shoot out a press release at 6 a.m. saying they're changing the executive structure of the campaign. So why bury the lead this morning for the news that he made the speech last night? Were they not happy with the speech?
Well, and Donald Trump broke this news himself.
Well,
he gave this interview to the Wall Street Journal late last night, where he told them that he was actually bringing on these people who had been with the campaign for several weeks. So like you said, it did not have to happen last night, but it came from Donald Trump's own mouth. And the people that he's bringing on, I think, would be fine with this, because Steve Bannon, for example, the new campaign CEO that Donald Trump has brought on to sort of oversee things, he is not your traditional Washington fixer, right? He's not some professional campaign whisperer. He is an executive at the conservative outlet Breitbart News, and he is brash. He's outspoken. He makes a lot of friends, but probably even more enemies. And he has been calling on Donald Trump for a long time to sort of let Trump be Trump, saying he should go ahead and be bold and say what's on his mind. So this whole Paul Manafort idea that we've heard over the last few months of a Trump pivot, of him becoming more of a general election candidate, that could very well be out the window, even though Manafort's saying, on Steve Bannon is somebody who you can imagine encouraging Trump to say, yeah, give the interview to the Wall Street Journal. Let's announce this whenever you feel like it.
Well, I also want to ask you too, Brad, what you think of Kellyanne Conway, who's going to be the new campaign manager, and they're going to have new ads, I think, coming out as early as this weekend or early next week. What do you expect to see in those?
Well, you're right. She is sort of a messaging guru, and she has been working with the Donald Trump campaign for a little more than a month now. And by trade, she's a Republican pollster, and she knows demographics. She knows groups that they're going to need to reach out to. And she was actually charged with getting more women voters on board with Donald Trump. And we haven't necessarily seen that play out, but Donald Trump does trust her. And so she's going to be not just in the driver's seat as the campaign manager, but she's going to be on the plane at Donald Trump's side. We know he likes to have somebody like this. This is the role that Corey Lewandowski served for all those months. Trump has sort of been wingmanless or wingwomanless for the last couple of months. So when it comes to those ads, you can imagine that they will be trying to, if it's the let Trump be Trump model, that we will continue to see sort of more of Trump's vision of the world, of a world that's in chaos, a world that needs law and order, that Trump, as he said at the convention, that Trump alone can fix. However, as we saw last night, there is clearly a concentrated push to try to sort of broaden his appeal beyond just that 39-40% of voters that are already on board.
And what are you hearing about Manafort's role then? Does he go back to being an Elvis impersonator, or does he actually still have a role with the campaign?
We are hearing suspiciously little about what Paul Manafort's role is going to be with the campaign. We know he'll be sticking around with the campaign, but how much power he has and just who is in charge of whom, that is being left kind of conspicuously unaddressed by the people within Trump land. So I'm not sure everyone within Trump's own camp knows what Paul Manafort's role will be. You know, he is this sort of professional guy known in Washington, sort of attempted to tamp down Trumpness, so to speak. But we've seen how that's worked out in the last few weeks as Trump's poll deficit continues to grow.
Well, let's go on this. Today, Trump gets his first security briefing. This will either strike you to say, well, that's fair, he should, or frighten the hell out of you. Is there an over-under amongst the media that is on the road with you as to whether or not he's going to bring it up? Hey, guess what I got today?
Well, I from what we've been told by people who have sort of some knowledge of what these briefings entail, it's not going to be any top secret operative information. This is not going to be, hey, we have an aircraft carrier in such and such Gulf ready to go. This will be sort of a version, a slightly more in-depth version of a non-classified briefing that the Directorate of National Intelligence actually makes available every year. So it'll go over the major threats facing America and sort of the emerging concerns that you're seeing bubble up around the world. There will be some top secret info in there, but like I said, not operational. And you have Democrats, even Senate Democrats, sitting lawmakers who are saying that Donald Trump shouldn't have access to this information. But people from the White House and from government intelligence agencies say there's no concern here. This is something that's par for the course. It's a longstanding tradition. And both Trump and Clinton will be getting nearly identical information. We'll expect a few of these briefings between now and Election Day.
They're giving him the nuclear codes, but they're scrambling them. It's going to be like the Soul Train scramble board. If he can figure it out, good for him. Guess what I got? Oh, they gave it to me. Yep, they gave it. They've been watching my rallies. Oh, Brad, I don't know how you do it. Come here, Brad. Let me give you a hug. Now, get back out there on the road so we don't have to.
You know, I am who I am. It's me. I don't want to change. Everyone talks about, oh, well, you're going to pivot. I don't want to pivot. I mean, you have to be you. If you start pivoting, you're not being honest with people. And because I've heard this over the years and, with politics, with general politics, also having to do with me, No, I am who I am. I've gotten here in a landslide, and we'll see what happens. I mean, in the end, don't forget, when I lost Wisconsin, it was over for Trump, except for one problem. I then went on a very good run. But, no, I am who I am.
Fox News former head Roger Ailes has been supposedly advising Trump on how to handle the debates when they come up at the end of September and into October. That normally in any other year would be problematic since Ailes is under the gun and suspicion of extreme sexual harassment charges that caused him to leave Fox News. But that's not the only crazy stuff going on at Fox News. Here's Jesse Waters on Fox News with a solution on how to pump up the Trump campaign.
For the Republican Party or conservatives, because you don't want them to feel like they've got nowhere to go and they sort of imprint and identify somewhere else, it can be much more difficult to get them back. Want to be sure that you're, you know, including those that perhaps don't have all different life experience than we do, you know, owning homes and mortgages and all these things, that think about things a little bit differently.
And if there's one more terror attack, maybe in October, this is going to make Trump's plan look a lot more appealing.
Oh, yeah. My God. What wishful thinking.
I know. You know,
anti-American.
Why would you?
That's unbelievable.
Say that that's what I'm thinking. Well, how dare you?
Well, what did you say?
How dare you?
Oh, okay.
It's for political analysis.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. I see. I thought it was desperation.
No. I know about an October surprise.
Oh, if Trump, if we all close our eyes and hope for a terrorist attack, you know, not a super bad one, but a terrorist attack in October.
Where's the sensitivity chips? I'm just curious. Did they all go away?
Sean Hannity on Fox and Friends. That's the, oh God, that's a horrible show. That's the morning show on Fox. Sean Hannity was on. Now, Sean Hannity's a very bright guy, but apparently he doesn't understand the definition of literally. Listen.
The media is so in the tank, so on board for Hillary. They're so abusively biased.
Right.
I literally watched this show on CNN over the weekend. And you got this little pipsqueak named Brian Stelter, and he allowed this arrogant professor from the Kennedy School of Journalism to talk about Trump being a demagogue, and demagogues like Trump become dictators. That's the type of coverage that CNN offers in this presidential race, as they literally kiss Hillary Clinton's ass and Obama's ass every day.
Wait a minute.
No,
Sean, I don't know if we're allowed to say that. It's early.
I think it's too late.
Yeah, and I do have to say, the definition of literal means those pictures would be very valuable online.
Well, yeah, every picture, every member of the media is, you know,
if
puckering
CNN
up.
Were literally kissing Hillary and the president's ass, can you imagine the amount of money you could generate from those photos? And plus, how do you pick which anchor?
Literally.
You know, Hillary and Wolf. I mean, come on, it's a bad matchup. Everybody puts their car keys in a bowl. I mean, who gets to start the kissing? A couple of minutes before 9. Coming up in late September, John and I will not be involved in the debate. John and I will be at Governor State University. Right, John DeCoste?
Yes. Yes, we will. It's really looking forward to it. On the 24th of September, Saturday the 24th.
And that is at Governor State to do a stand-up comedy show. Who's on the bill?
We have Rocky Laporte.
Rocky's great.
I know. Rocky's phenomenal. The Tonight Show. And Pat McGann, two appearances on
Pat's great.
You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
How do we get tickets?
Well, it's the Center for the Performing Arts, and you can go online to edu, or call the box office at 708-235-2222.
Literally.
So govstate.edu. G-O-V-S-T-A-T-E?
Actually, no.
G-O-V-S-T?
Yes. G-O-V-S-T.edu.
G-O-V-S-T.edu.
Center for the Performing Arts at Governor State.
Our long tradition of solid plugs continues.
Definitely.
And what's the phone number at the box office?
708-235-2222.
Is this literally an Iceman? Is this an Iceman production?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is an Iceman production.
Yeah, it might be. So that'll be fun.
Oh, it'll be
fun. So it's McGann.
Can't wait.
Rocky, you and me.
Rocky Laporte, Pat McGann. I would just come out to see those two.
Yeah, they're great.
In fact, that's the only reason I'm showing up.
Literally.
Literally.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
9:11 in the morning, and we continue with show number 715 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Andrea brought up an app that she has on her phone earlier this morning called Flush. And Flush is where you find the cleanest public restrooms when you're on the road or she's out reporting for Channel 9, that kind of thing. And I said, text me your favorite apps. So you can still do that between now and 10 o'clock. Text me your favorite apps, not apps that everybody else has. You know, Google? No.
No.
Facebook? No, text me apps that are, you know, not necessarily one of them that's on everybody's phone. Waze, W-A-Z-E, best navigation app ever, according to a texter. This is, the only problem I have with Waze is all crowdsourced. Mm-hmm. So because it's crowdsourced, by the time I'm looking at Waze, isn't some of the information outdated?
Well, sometimes there will be an indication of an accident up ahead that isn't there, or a vehicle on the side of the highway,
right.
And you get there, there's no vehicle.
But you like it.
I do like it.
Okay.
I do like it.
Okay.
Easy to use.
312, favorite app is Flipboard. Flipboard is a great app. Flipboard is a news aggregator where you can put in your favorite topics, and it pulls stories from the sources that write about those topics. And it also does great photography.
Yeah.
Gas Buddy.
My mom has that one.
Tells her the lowest price gas.
Yeah.
I'd say Spot Hero is one of my new favorites.
I love that.
You can reserve parking spaces in the city. So
yeah.
You're going to the theater, you're going to a show, you're going to the game. Going to a game, and you can literally at noon reserve a parking spot.
Right, and you can see what are, you know, the better priced garages or the better priced parking spots. There could be one a block away for, you know, $20 as opposed to $12.
Yeah. Texter says, Skyview, point your phone at the sky. It shows stars, constellations, planets, even the International Space Station when it's nearby.
For parking?
No, I think you're one behind. No. It's like a planetarium in your phone. Favorite app, GroupMe. I work with several groups of teens. It's an easy way to keep them straight in my head. So you put groups of people together.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
And one of my favorite new apps is called Curiosity.
What is that?
It sends you five new things every day that you didn't know about, and you go and you look at them. We had this CEO on our show earlier this week. It's based in Chicago, curiosity.com.
Is it a startup?
It is. It's been going for a couple of years, but it's really going strong, and I love learning something new every day. And I have to tell you, my bar is really high, and this thing every day gets me.
You're smarter than the rest of us?
Well, no, we all see stuff, you know, that we've all seen before somewhere.
So what's one that surprised you this week?
The whale, the shark, the shark that lives to be 500 years old. They had all kinds of information about it, the Greenland shark, where it lives, you know, how they figured this out. And it's really kind of cool. You don't have to search all over the place for these different sources. It gives you all of them right there.
And if you're going on a date or something, you can drop that in.
Yeah.
You know, pause in the conversation.
That helps.
Shark.
A shark that's 500 years old.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a new app. Everyone seems to be using it, too. It's called Prisma. And it lets you take, I showed this one to you.
I actually have it.
You take a picture and it makes
turn like your photos into artwork.
Into artwork, like an oil painting. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And it does it almost instantly. Steve, is your app Curiosity? It's called Curiosity?
It's Curiosity. Yep. Okay. You go to curiosity.com.
iOS or Android?
Either one. Yep.
Okay. A lot of email app suggestions, including TypeMail, T-Y-P-E, TypeMail, Snapseed for editing images. Skyview was mentioned by another person. There's something called Night Sky Light. It sounds like another version of Skyview. Same sort of deal. Hold it up and it identifies the sky. TuneIn Radio is great. You can get the podcast for this show on TuneIn Radio. MyFitnessPal is great if you want to count calories and also get encouraged to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours? Favorite apps? 312-981-7200. Mary, do you have one?
You know, I don't do many apps. My biggest one now is, of course, the Olympics, NBC. So I'm just on that. But I'm not
Dave?
A big apper.
I'm
a napper, not an apper.
I started using one recently, Hopper, which is an airfare predictor. It will track.
So you put in a destination, it'll tell you when the price is maybe in your ballpark?
Yeah, it's not selling you the tickets. It's telling
you it's a good time
to
buy.
I'm trying to buy airfare right now to Boston next month,
uh-huh.
And it's telling me, don't buy now, wait, but buy before September 10th, because that's the fares will go up then.
It's a cool idea.
And it sends me notifications when there's a change.
Hopper?
Hopper.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number. Our friend John DeCoste is John is our friend, but not in this case. Our friend John McDonough, the boss of the Chicago Blackhawks, is getting a nice award from Little City, which is a great, great organization. And Ed Hockfield joins us from there now. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing super good. Great to be on, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
Sure, of course. The 53rd annual Little City Invitational Golf Classic is coming up. And you're honoring Mr. McDonough. Why?
Well, you know, we are the longest-running charity golf event in Illinois, mm-hmm. 53 years ago. It started by a gentleman by the name of Maury Kelman, who was a great fundraiser, humanitarian, not only for Little City, but many other places. And upon his death in 1985, we started a Maury Kelman Humanitarian Award, where we award each year a person or organization in the Chicago area that exemplifies those humanitarian traits of Maury. And this year, John McDonough, and so many of your listeners know him as the president and CEO of the Blackhawks,
sure,
a great turnaround, but what they don't realize is the fabulous work that John does in the community. For example, he is a sustaining board member for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, mm-hmm. Illinois Board.
He right.
sits on the Athletic Advisory Board of St. Mary's University, the Special Olympics, and, of course, the Chicago Blackhawk Charities.
He's so he's a very good man and a giving guy, and he's instituted that culture and the rebuilding of the Blackhawks. And I have to say the team has stepped up very well as well whenever there's a charitable cause. And, you know, they don't go tooting their own horns about it. But I was pleased to see you were honoring him, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about him for a second. But, well, we got you. Talk about Little City.
Well, again, many of your listeners know Little City. We're now in our 59th year. We're located in unincorporated Palatine, just a quarter mile west of Harper College on Algonquin Road. We have 56 acres, which is our community, but we also have community living arrangements out in the different areas around the northwest suburbs. And actually, Steve, we touch over 800 adults and children with autism and other intellectual developmental disabilities during the week.
It's
and
a big
we provide
deal.
Many different services, whether it be residential, therapeutic day school, adult home-based supports, job employment, art, and we even have an indoor golf facility, which is fabulous for our Special Olympics.
The golf outing is coming up on August 22nd, which is Monday, of course.
Correct.
However,
correct.
I'm sure there's last-minute ways people can help out. Are there any slots left to actually play?
Yes, there are. We welcome anyone listening today to come join us. It's a fabulous day at Twin Orchard Country Club in Long Grove. It's 18 holes. You play your own ball. A wonderful evening of silent auction. The Blackhawks put together some wonderful packages for our live auction. Plated dinner. People can go on littlecity.org/LCI. That's LCI for all the information and the registration. And we certainly do have availability.
And it's LCI is the Little City Invitational, so you can link it
correct.
There, link it through the events
correct.
Button.
And there's one other way, Steve, that people can get involved. We have what's known as the Golden Ticket. You do not have to be present to win. There are 200 tickets available. If they go back to that website and after LCI do /golden, they can have an opportunity to win one of our live auction items.
Cool.
Not be present. And last year, one gentleman won. He walked off with a $10,000 value on our live auctions. And we have some great live auctions. You can ride the Zamboni, have 4 100-level tickets to the Blackhawk game. You can also visit in the locker room is another one with 4 100-level tickets. We have you might like this one, Steve, a golf trifecta. You can have a threesome at Medina, a threesome at the Chicago Golf Club, and a foursome at the Dunes Club.
Wow. That's tremendous.
And for those who attend, for the third year, we'll have the RSM Classic as a reserve live auction item, thanks to Joe Adams in RSM, which is formerly McLadry. You fly down all expense pay. You stay for three nights at the RSM Classic, which this year is being held, I believe it's in November. That's Davis Love's foundation. Yep. So you get to play with McGladrey clients on Tuesday, one person. You get to play in the Pro-Am on Wednesday. You have full access to the tournament on Thursday. You have dinner with Davis Love and Robin at his home on Tuesday night.
How great is that?
And on Wednesday night, you have the Live on the Oaks. And this year, the country and western star Cole Swindell is the entertainment. So that's the 14th through the 20th of November. So there's a lot of great things. We tee off at 11:45 in the shotgun. We have cocktails at 5:15, and we start dinner and the awards at 6:15. Steve, we'd love to have you come as our guest.
Hope well, you can make it. I appreciate that very much.
Bring some buddies.
And
be our guest.
John is a good friend and has been for a long time. And you don't mind if I heckle him, do you?
Not at all.
He's a great guy. He's fabulous. He really is. And it's very nice of you to honor him. Boy, those are some great items as well. Ed Hockfield, Little City Golf, but it's much more than a golf classic. Little City getting it done every day. And I thank you for the work you're doing. My big brother is autistic. My daughter works with kids with autism every day. It's an important thing to me, too. So, all right, Ed, hold on, buddy. Thank you. Thanks again. And go to littlecity.org/LCI. That's Little City Invitational. And you can get directly involved with the event or kick on the events button there, and you're good to go. 9:23, we're back after this. Looking for your favorite apps that maybe you think not the rest of us know that much about, right? Meanwhile, I just borrowed Andrea's phone, and it turns out I got to go probably 10 blocks to find a clean restroom.
Yeah.
It's not good for the tower. It's 9:23 on 720 WGN. Dave Ennett here. You have a presentation to Andrea?
Well, I do. I don't know if you're aware of this, Steve, but Andrea celebrated a birthday last week.
Yes, she did. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The present that I got for you still hasn't shown up in the mail.
Oh, that's okay. I'll take it when it comes. So. No, that's very generous.
But it's getting now to be a week late, which is normally when we hand these things out.
Yeah, when we celebrate the birthdays anyway. I had a great celebration. Thanks, you guys.
And actually, my gift still hasn't arrived either. My birthday was in May, so I think it's still early.
No, the difference there is, Dave, I never intended to get you a gift.
Oh, okay.
Didn't I give you the Hooters gift card?
Well, it's funny you bring that up.
Yeah, which, by the way...
Because it is a tradition on this show that the birthday celebrant receives the $25 Hooters gift card.
All
congratulations.
Right.
And happy birthday.
The Hooters gift card that goes back to 2013.
Yes.
And it gets passed around for every birthday and has never been used.
But someday, Mary, me, Devlantis, we're all going to go to Hooters and get some wings. Because I hear they have really good wings.
They do.
Well, Vanderbilt kind of excited
and
about going to Hooters.
Yeah. Just the girls. Girls' day out.
At Hooters?
Wouldn't that be funny? See all the girls having girls' day at Hooters?
That's so weird.
With the girls.
Yeah,
so,
yeah Hooters.
Let's do it.
Hooters at Hooters. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Oh, thanks, you guys. This is great. I was waiting for this. You can see the wear and tear it's taken over the years. Look at the magnetic strip.
Black strip is chipping away.
I don't even think this would be.
Does it expire? Is there an expiration?
That's not the original Hooters gift card.
Yeah, because we lost it, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Or somebody cashed it in and said they lost it.
Kevin.
I thought Ennett cashed it in.
No, I didn't cash it in. I think Kevin did.
He cashed the Hooters in? I believe that.
And not for the women, for the wings.
There's no expiration on it either, so.
Yeah, so they say. So thank you, Dave. That's a very nice presentation.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
We're going to hang on to this.
Don't spend it all in one
Whose
place.
Whose birthday's next?
Meanwhile, we're continuing to get app suggestions. Luminancer? I don't know what it is. Luminancer. There's an app called Max's Tractor Sheds, where tractor sheds are shown up. Is that made up? It's got to be made up. Am I an idiot?
No. Yeah, a little bit.
Listia, where you buy and sell stuff using your own fake money.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a game, I guess, right? Road Warrior, Shop Savvy. My favorite app is something called CamScan.
What's that?
Explain it to me, Sandberg. Sandberg, explain what CamScan is.
CamScan?
You can scan documents to your phone, like if you needed, and then email them or...
whatnot, so you don't have to go to a scanner. And like if you're buying a house or
refinancing,
save you a bunch of time. Paperwork.
Yeah, you just take the picture with your phone, and it looks perfect. It looks better than if you scanned it. So
that's pretty cool.
I'd buy the upgraded version. It's like $3 because it holds more. So you know,
920 texter says Keep. Keep is a note taking app. It's pretty good. That's pretty good. Peak. It's a brain trainer with mind agility games. Trucker Path is my favorite. That's from the 319. I don't know what Trucker Path is. Mm-mm. Elevate. I don't know what that is. Stumble Upon. Stumble Upon is like socially shared news items and wacky stories and pictures and things like that. Calorie King. Nutritional info for every food on the planet.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I want that.
DriveSafe.ly. Drive safely. Read your text aloud while you're driving. There's a free and a paid version, so you no longer are looking at your phone for text.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That is a good one. There's another one called Bands in Town, where you put in your favorite type of music genre or your favorite bands.
And it then tells you if your band's in town?
It texts you when they're coming in before the tickets go on sale, so you can plan accordingly.
It says, I like Ovia, O-V-I-A, and Baby Center for pregnancy. I think Lauren used Ovia.
Ovia?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that's right. Huh. Showbox for streaming movies. Password safe app, PASSWORD, keeps all your passwords secured. I have Keeper for that.
You like that, right?
I like Keeper, yeah.
And you just need to remember the one password.
Yeah. GoodRx, best way to compare pharmacy prices. What three words is amazing? It signs a random three-word address to every possible geographic spot on Earth. Turns it into a really cool game, very addictive. And Maps measures given distances from pictures. So you take a picture on this map app, and it'll tell you how far you are away from where you want to be. So you put an address. So you take a picture of where you are, and then you put in your address of your house. It tells you how far you are from your house, apparently, right? I think that's my understanding of it.
I would think,
sounds, I don't get it.
I don't get it is another terrific app. That, it just lists stuff that John doesn't get.
Mine is Bitmoji.
Bitmoji's cool.
I love Bitmoji.
Bitmoji will make a cartoon version of you that you can send out.
I sent one to you last week, Andre.
I love that.
You sent one to me.
So my little cute. Stay Puff. My little Stay Puff suit.
Yeah, they're pretty
so
good.
Cute.
They're pretty good.
Some people on the show send each other little emoji love notes every day, and I'm not going to say who.
Yeah. Well, you'll be talking about Leff and Ennett?
Yeah. Yes.
It's 9:33. Are we going straight to the big story? Back with the big story next in 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Orion Samuelson is a nice boy from Wisconsin. And what time did Ma and Pa Ingalls pick you up after school?
At 4 o'clock, I started walking the mile back home because we walked every day, and it was a mile from our farmhouse to the schoolhouse. So the only time that I got a ride was when we would have a blizzard and the roads would be snowed shut and too deep to walk. Then Dad would hook up the team of horses to the big sled and he'd take us by sled to the school.
So you would just text and say, I need a ride?
Yeah. I wrote it in snow in yellow ink.
I play nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Yee-haw. Nine 45, Orion Samuelson standing by. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Had a great day at the Illinois State Fair yesterday. Got down there early and got home last night about 7 o'clock or so. And it was Salute to Agriculture Day. We just had a great day. Weather was okay. They're still cleaning up after the flood on the fairgrounds this weekend. But we had a great day.
Did you eat anything on a stick?
Well, anything you can put on a stick or deep fry, you will find at any of the state fairs this year. Even a deep fried butter stick. But no, I did not. I behaved myself yesterday because I had a lot to do, and we had to get around to a lot of areas on the fairgrounds. The wine room is a great place to go because wine has become a major industry in Illinois and just about every other state in the union. And so there we got some air-conditioned wine refreshment. But it was, you know, the livestock and the auction last night that I emceed. I think this is the 53rd year that I've done that. and we raised nearly $250,000
How about that?
For the Grand Champion
Nice.
Livestock and Commodities. And we set a new record for the Grand Champion steer, $104,000 paid for the Grand Champion steer. And Governor Bruce Rauner, out of his own pocketbook, paid a good part of that, along with Monsanto. And it was exciting to be there again for yet another record auction.
Well, very nice of the governor. You know, that's the other thing. The generosity of the governor is never cited in the midst of all these political back and forths, along with not getting paid for his job. He also is paying for the renovation of the governor's mansion.
Right.
And yes. out of his own pocket. And there you go. Last night, he wrote a check for several thousand dollars.
Indeed, he did. And he really spent most of his day with agriculture yesterday. It was Salute to Agriculture Day. We emceed a program in the morning that honored families, beef producers, sheep producers, pork producers, you name it. And the governor sat on stage and helped with the presentation for the entire hour and a half program in the morning. And then he helped me open the auction last night and stayed to the very end because that's when we sold the Grand Champion steer, and he wanted to be there for that.
So. How'd the steer feel about it?
Steer was very happy because I think the steer voted for him. So I think,
really? Yeah. Appeared to be a Republican steer.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. The Trump campaign named their Agricultural Advisory Committee.
And I haven't seen it yet. I know a couple of the names that are on it, but I haven't seen the whole list.
Here's a few. Rick Perry, Governor of Texas, Kansas okay. Senator Pat Roberts, Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts from the Ricketts family here.
I like those. I like Pat Roberts. He's been a great advocate for agriculture in the Washington scene. I like him a lot. And
Rodney Davis is on here as well. What do you think of Rodney?
Rodney Davis.
Rodney Davis is the congressman from the 13th, which covers central and southwestern Illinois, at least in part.
Yeah, from the times that I've interviewed, I think I've interviewed him once, and he knows agriculture, and
Good.
That's what we need on the Agriculture Advisory Board, and hopefully they'll be able to change Trump's mind on trade agreements and the importance of trade, not just to agriculture, but certainly agriculture, but to the U.S. economy.
And another Orion fan who's on the committee is Iowa's governor. Terry Branstad.
Oh, yes.
Terry Branstad.
Yeah.
Back in, I think, 1988, when his first term as governor of Iowa was in place, and the World Plowing Matches were held in Ankeny, Iowa, and I had the opportunity to plow in competition with Terry Branstad.
Who won?
They declared it even heat, I think. But I got to know Terry's dad very well, and he was just a great Iowa farmer. And I like Terry, yes. We'll probably see him at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, a little bit later this month.
He's the one who rushed us at the caucuses, Steve, and said, where's Orion?
Yeah, that's she's not kidding. That's exactly what he did.
He did.
Dave Ennett's here. Dave, you'd mind if we play the old tape that you did of the play-by-play of Orion versus Terry Branstad? Back from 1988 at the plowing final?
I think we have to find that. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think we have it right now, don't we? Let's go to the tape right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, Dave, you were just going to do it live and ad-lib it.
I thought you found the tape.
The setup, Dave.
Three
and a half years in, Dave. I figured, well, we know each other completely. I figured you'd just run with
it. I was thinking that might be what you were,
Crickets.
Where you were going.
Crickets.
And the thing about plowing, it's not so much the speed, it's how straight the furrow is and how uniform the depth of the furrow is and how well the furrow covers the furrow next to it.
So. And that's why you can't go to the wine tent at the state fair and expect to plow in the plowing competition.
Very true.
You want a crooked furrow.
Yeah.
You know, the judges of the wine contest for the Illinois State Fair over a three-day period sampled somewhere around 400 different wines.
Wow.
How do you think they felt?
Wow. How do you get that gig?
That is pretty amazing. All right, my friend. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend at Arlington, and we hope everybody supports the track because the season's fast going away here.
Boy, it'll be gone before you know it. The end of September, it'll be all over. But we had a great time last week at the Arlington Million. Didn't pick the winner, but great crowd, great event, always a racing highlight for, I think, the world. So.
Yeah, and thanks to Mr. Dutchesswath for keeping the place open and the lights on, because he certainly didn't have to.
No.
All the best, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
9:52, Steve Cochran Show. Bill and Wendy coming up next. Text messages coming in about Orion. I remember hearing his voice on the radio in Iowa growing up with my grandpa. I was only about 6 or 7. He's a class act. Other texter says, what a gullible, what a nincompoop, what a nincowpoop. That's one expensive steer. And then a 6-year-old texter, tell Orion my daughter enjoyed meeting him at Aqua Viva Friday night. What's Aqua Viva? Is that like a hot club in town?
Rave club.
Orion, an all-night rave? Orion picking up the ladies.
Yeah.
9:56, did you want to thank us?
I did. Yesterday, I got my show gift, my wedding gift.
Mm-hmm. And it was on your registry.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was...
Registry, by the way, if you want to go to Bed Bath, and she sounds a little crazy to me, you can register, because that's where Mary's List was.
Yeah, so I got, I think, a year's supply of Bounty white paper towels, mm-hmm. select a size.
Nice call.
Yeah, so it was... I will post the picture. It's... pure happiness in my face.
Did make you very happy.
She liked it better than the champagne and the
she liked it better than her ring.
She didn't even open the champagne.
I also, Mike and his girlfriend Audrey gave me a nice gift as well.
What was that? Can't talk about?
No, they gave me some scotch and some Starburst.
Scotch and Starburst.
Scotch and Starburst. The traditional Scotch and Starburst.
Isn't that a song?
And it's
Scotch
like the,
and Starburst.
It's like the Sandberg starter set right
yeah,
there.
It was perfect. And so the night before the wedding, I was kicked back on the couch watching the Cubs, having some scotch and some yellow and orange Starburst. And also, I know we don't like to do this, but it's wish people happy birthday on their birthday, but it's Mike's girlfriend Audrey's birthday.
Hey, we like Audrey.
Birthday, she's a friend
Audrey?
Of the show.
So. We don't like Mike, but we like Audrey a lot.
We like Audrey a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you, and you're still married?
I'm still married. And those paper towels,
Pat
said, couldn't you like have an affinity for something more valuable than paper towels, you know, so people would not want
to. I got to be honest with you. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. No.
It's the most practical gift she got.
And again, that's Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. That's his full name.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. So thank you guys.
You got it. It's 9:58. A couple other texters apps before we're done. One is rest stops. You can look up any major highway and find where the next rest stop is. Trucker Path are resources for truckers. Remember I was asking about that? And we'll grab a couple more here. If you're nearing retirement, it could be confusing if you're wondering how the election, global events, and the current economy might affect your retirement. You're not alone. Bill Geiger at Geiger Wealth Management says he's going to do something right for you, going to do something special for you. Bill Geiger is going to work up a full-blown financial plan for you. Let's say you've saved $500,000. Andrea's counting out six $1 bills. Let's say you've saved $500,000 for retirement.
And I never care.
You're
cash,
just
so.
Short. Mm-hmm. Of that number. But Bill Geiger will work with you and work up a full-blown financial plan if you're one of the next five callers now at 800-681-2498. It's Geiger Wealth Management, translating the complex retirement process into easy-to-understand steps. Why wouldn't you want a full-blown financial workup? 800-681-2498. 800-681-2498. Now Bill and Wendy are next.